Thanks and good morning to everybody. Thanks to Claudine Tierslan to host this conference and the organizer, Jérôme and Pascal. So as Jérôme just told you, I'm going to talk about self-fiction, emotion in autism spectrum disorder. This is a part of the INERA project we conduct all together. And one of my question that would like to ask at this point is why to study fiction, emotion, and self in autism. There are several considerations that we have to outline here. First of all, autism is characterized by impairments in emotional regulation, social cognition, but also diminished autobiographical episodic memory and atypical self-representation, which is a really crucial aspect that we already see and it's playing an important role in our hypothesis. And we also, the other point is what little is known about the interplay with this dysfunction. And in particular, between cognitive and emotional reaction responses to fiction and also in a real situation. And how these interplays might differ from the way dysfunction work together in typical population. We also know that autistic children and adults are drawn to science fiction, and most of them write autobiographical memories. So this is quite an interesting question, and it's intriguing. What there is, as I say, there are very few studies, experimental studies, addressing this question. And one important point that I like to address in this project is to investigate the idea that reduced use of social knowledge and self-engagement in autism, in people with autism, might affect the understanding and the emotional response to real and fictional scene. But first of all, I would like to give a definition, a description of what autism is actually considered as a spectrum. That is it's include very heterogeneous population that can range from the more severe Kanner's form with intellectual and language delay and or absent language to milder forms as high functioning autism or Asperger syndrome. The Asperger syndrome is not accompanied by intellectual retardation nor a language delay. But all these different forms of autism are characterized by the same diet of symptoms, and in particular by social interaction and communication impairment and behavioral impairment in terms of repetitive and stereotype behavior. So one of the more influential hypotheses that have been put forward in the 80s, beginning of the 80s, was the theory of mind hypothesis. The theory of mind is the ability to attribute mental state, such as intention, belief, thoughts, hope, desire, to oneself and to others. And one of the tasks that was largely used to test this ability in people with autism, but also in children with typical development, is the false belief task. The Sellier-Arm task is the most famous one. But also now, there was another type of test that were used to assess disability in children with autism, such as the story comprehension task. The main result of this study showed that 4 years old typically developed children passed the false belief task. So they are able to attribute the correct mental state to others, while children with autism fail. And this was explained by the lack of the theory of mind system. But following studies showed that some of these children with autism may pass false belief tasks. So this is an interesting study by Appian in 1995 that showed that actually performance interior of man correlate with well mental age. So, and there is also a more recent study that confirmed that there is a delayed maturation of theory of mind, and not a lack of theory of mind. So it seems that theory of mind ability are strongly affected by language competence and not by age. And in particular, and this is true also for children with typical development, by semantic and grammatical knowledge, which are the most significant predictor of performance in theory of mind. So the hypothesis has been put forward that theory of mind in tasks can be, at least in the explicit and forms, can be accomplished by successfully by people with autism by using verbally mediated cognitive compensatory strategies. And so what we know then on theory of mind in high functioning autism, overall the studies show that from 15 to 60% of individuals with autism are able to succeed for their false belief task. But adults with high functioning neurospiritual system possess also a second order theory of mind. But when used more advanced theory of mind task, we might know that there are still some difficulties. And for instance, they can attribute mental state, but they difficulty to use this spontaneously, where they are not prompt to attribute this mental state. Or even in the FOPA task, we conduct a FOPA task, we found that they have an attribution bias or have difficulty in providing contextually appropriate mental state answer. And what is more interesting is that despite these compensatory strategies, there is still the people with autism spectrum disorders still experience difficulty in social interaction in real life. And despite they have preserved explicit verbal ability that can supply sometimes the lack of this intuitive social insight. So they have acquired this ability to reason explicitly by compensatory learning, and still have this difficulty in real life. And that's why research of addressing this problem of social interaction, social understanding, has focused on the perceptual impairment in mind reading in individual with autism. And in particular, as the search is focus on difficulty in encoding relevant social stimuli such as gaze detection, joint attention, emotion phase expression, and biological movement. This is an example of a nice example of a dissociation between explicit theory of mind abilities and preserved explicit theory of mind ability and impaired implicit theory of mind abilities. This is an eye tracker study in which the participants were asked to perform the false belief task, but they also eye movement were recorded, and the results show that the group with Asperger syndrome have a less looking bias toward the correct windows, and the first looking in the correct location is at above chance level, while typically developed adults were able to anticipate the correct response by just this anticipatory looking. And the other report addition is that when asked to answer verbal response, the people with autism spectrum disorder gave the correct answer. So there is this dissociation between impaired implicit theory of mind, social cognition, and preserved social cognition theory of mind ability. And this is another studies that use dynamic stimuli that show how this atypical way of looking at social scenes. This is a very famous study of Klein and collaborator. And so the participant with autism, you can look, this is the eye, the eye movement from autism, where the attention was allocated mostly on body parts or mouth, while adult with typically developed adult just look mainly to the eyes and to the face of the characters. So that's maybe the reason why people with autism might miss social emotional information that is relevant for understanding and for navigating in a social world. And this is the same study show that clearly that the two groups differ in terms of the visual fixation time. And you have in yellow the fixation time allocated to different parts, of the scene. And we see that this is clearly, is a clear significant difference between the time allocated to the height by typically developed participants and to in comparison to group with autism. That people with autism allocated their attention mostly to the body parts, mouth, and object more than to the eyes. This is another study that used dynamic video taken by the film. And they test not intention attribution, but recognition of emotional state. And these are not these are cognitive and social emotion, like concern, disconcern, embarrassment, exasperation. And so it turns out that overall individual with autism performs significantly lower than control in attributed cognitive and social emotion. And this is what the neuroimaging studies tell us about brain atypicalities, abnormalities in autism. This is one of the first studies that use the theory of mind task and attribution, attribution of intention, using animated stimuli, geometric stimuli. And they clearly showed that the pattern of attribution is a definitely significant difference. And there is a reduction of activation in the autism group and in the medial prefrontal cortex, and a lack of activation in the temporal area and the amygdala area, which is involved in processing social and emotional information. And while there is an equal activation of the extrastriate area. So this is consistent with also more recent studies show that there is a general reduced brain connectivity, but in particular, this reduced connectivity concerned the limbic areas. This is all brain connectivity studies, the resting state study, and it clearly identify the limbic system, which is responsible for the social emotional function, as the circuit that is mainly affected by this connectivity reduction. And this values correlate with the social responsiveness scale score, which is low in the case of autism spectrum disorder. So this is a key this notion of the selective impairment to the social brain network in the case of autism. So, and we found the same areas that are implicated, and these areas, using functional imaging, has shown to be involved in viewing animation that elicits mentalization, listening human voice, and intention eye gaze tasks. All these tasks are participants with autism have a diminished performance, which is associated with a reduction of brain activation in this area. So the neural disconnectivity hypothesis, the disconnection, what is called the disconnection syndrome, is provide an unified neurobiological model that explains the variety of the cognitive impairment in autism, but in particular what we are interested to the how this model can predict impairment in the social-emotional domain. And we put forward this hypothesis that to reduce top-down regulation of social-emotional function may explain these difficulties in social interaction. In particular, we were interested in looking at some areas that are important in this process of top-down regulation, in particular the medial prefrontal cortex, which is generally involved in tasks such as self-related knowledge and mind reading. And we run a study, in behavioral study and imaging studies, in which we want to assess the role of sensory information and prior knowledge in prediction intention in adults with autism spectrum disorder. And this study is based on the idea that the ability to recognize intentions depends on two distinct types of information. First one is a sensory evidence that is available from the action scene and the observer prior's expectation about which intention is the most likely cause of what is observed. This is based on our previous experience. And then, so we this top-down modulation impairment in autism would predict that a diminished integration of sensory experience with stored knowledge based on previous experience, and this reduction of top-down modulation would be specific for social intention and not for motor intention. So this is a study that I ran in collaboration with Valérie Chambaud, who is member of the Janico Institute, Chloe Ferrer in Toulouse, and Elisabeth Pachery at Janico Institute. So this is an intention recognition task. We use two types of intention. One condition, subject have to recognize motor intention. They were two type of action that were shown. That are similar except with the scope of the action. Every sort of similar, but in one scene, the action movement end by a lift movement, and the second one with a rotation movement of the same object. In the second type of scene, participants were present with two participants that play a game using the same kind of stimuli. In one case, they cooperate, they're doing the same movement, either a lift or rotation, and the other one, there was a competition, a defective relationship. What we manipulate in these studies was the two factors. One is the a priori probability that we use a two-step procedure. In the first procedure, we manipulate the a priori probability by showing them, by presenting them with one of the two actions in a complete form. And in the second step, we manipulate the visual information available during the task by interrupt the video at different point in time. So there were less visual information from a complete presentation of the action to the very few visual information available. There was that was difficult to predict, to visible see what the final goals was. So we increase the a priori probability and we modify the visual amount of the information available. This is a result showing that, and we calculated by subtracting each rate. So this is the reach rate for the non-social task, the motor task, and we see that this is the likely action. We see that when the amount of information is really reduced, both participants use prior knowledge. That is, they choose to, the response predict the action that they were biased for in the induction phases. And this is for definitely true for both group. And this is also interesting to see that as far as the visual information was available, the two correct it was to the two video where the two action were correctly predicted. And what is slight difference is the performance in the social cognition, and we see from the beginning that the typicals are more sensitive to the social bias. And this is difference. This difference at beginning of the block, when there is really few visual information available, control group use more prior knowledge in the social cognition task that is not a social cognition task. Conversely, in the ISD group, this is no difference. The user's prior knowledge is similar in the social and the motor cognition. And this is the effect of priors, so that we calculate by subtracting e-trace of the likely action, so the action they were biased for, from the unlikely action, and for each amount of visual information. So we have A1, low amount of visual information, A4, complete presentation of the video, so there is all the video were present in the complete form. And we see that in the social cognition, typicals use priors much more than in the motor cognition. This is not the case with autism, people with autism, that use in both conditions prior, let's say, in an equal way. And this is the global effect of prior. And again, this confirmed that this difference is significant and in the control. The effect of prior is the significant difference is significant between the non-social and the social cognition in typicals, but not in autism. And another interesting result of this study that we saw the use the prior across all the experimental tasks. And we realize very interesting things that happened that even if the participant with autism didn't have this bias to where, I forget to tell you that we decide to bias the participant with a cooperative action, because it was initially, they were comparison participants in a pilot study showed that they were biased naturally, spontaneously toward the cooperative sequence, the cooperative action. So they have no prior bias toward the cooperative behavior, but at the end of the study, they learn to use prior, social priors. And the difference at the end of the block, at the last block, at the end of the study, was not difference between controllers and typical. So there is an early preference for the tip of that intention, for the cooperative intentions in comparison. But even this is not present in participants with autism, they progressively acquire and learn to use prior knowledge. This is the result. These results show that actually they are less sensitive to prior social prior, but they are more. But they inference the attribution of intention is mostly based on visual information in people with autism. So what is summary of this result? That the main result of this study showed that there is a reduced effect of social prior in participants with autism. They rely less on acquired social knowledge and more on visual information to infer intention as compared to typicals. There is a lower dependence on social bias. This lower dependence can explain the social difficulty in everyday life. especially in situations in which the sensory information is lacking or ambiguous. There is still possibility that social learning may occur, and then can explain why there is preserved social competence in adults with high functioning autism. And also this is what we can conclude. There is maybe an absent or reduced memory for day on rather than other action. This is consistent with studies that show that there is also a deficit in the representation that are related to the self in this population. So this is actually important to understand why we move to the question of the role of the self in autism. And there is a convergent evidence that the self is in pair of atypical in people with autism. There is a study showing that they have a reduced self-reference effect. They have an impaired autobiographical episodic memory or episodic future thinking. They also have a diminishing conscious awareness of their own emotion, or what is in Tolving terms an impaired autonoetic awareness. As I say, there is also absent or reduced memory for social memory, but also memory for their own rather than others, and a reduced sense of agency. So if individuals with autism have a poorly integrated concept of self, one should predict a reduced or absent self-reference effect, or reduced effect of self-related priors when looking, understanding others' behavior. So this should predict less personal memory associated with the real or fictional scenarios, reduce explicit or self-report and implicit pupillometry, for instance, that measure implicit emotional response. We may also expect to find dissociation between altered explicit and preserved implicit response, as was already shown using false belief task and eye tracking. The second point was that if individuals with autism have difficulty to download regulate emotion, we should predict no effect of fiction on the reality distinction on emotional implicit and explicit responses. So in other terms, there would be experience any difference between emotion and quasi-emotion. So this is the study that we ran in collaboration. This is part of the INR. We use the same stimuli that were presented yesterday by Pascal. There was 15 short clips that were presented, and of film that were rated for their valence. So they were positive, negative, and neutral clips. They were presented twice. And it was at the end of each presentation, the participants were asked to answer answer a question that I will come and see what exactly they have to do. These are our participants. At this moment, we are still including subjects. So we have just 13 participants with autism, and we have 30 control subjects. We also assess the empathy, the level of empathy, and the autistic quotient, and we see that the two groups significantly differ on these measures. Empathy was lower in autism, and the autistic quotient was higher as compared to control. So we use self-report scale, questionnaire, and we also measure pupillometry. Why pupillometry? Because pupil responses lead to long-term memory processes at encoding and predict the success of memory formation. And at the same time, we also monitor high movement by using eye tracking. device. This is the first during the first presentation of the video, participant went to self-report about reality fiction. So they have to evaluate the degree of fiction of the reality of the essay on a scale going to 0 to 7. 0 means fictional and 7 is real. On the valence and intensity of the scene, this scale from very negative, -3, to neutral, 0, to very positive, and also the self-relevance, that is the personal memory that were associated with each scene. And this is 0s, no memory associated, and 7, totally self-involvement. On the end of the second presentation, we were also interested to understand what kind of feature were encoded and recorded. So we asked the following 5 questions. The first one concerned the action information, which action is performed. This is multiple choice questionnaire. The second question was about social interaction. What type of social interaction attitude is shown in these clips? The third question concerned the spatial temporal information, where or when the scene occur. And fourth question, social information that concern the number of characters or some feature of the physical peculiarities of the character, color of the hair, color of the dress or the t-shirt. And also non-social information, concern question about the object present in the scene. These are the preliminary results. As I told you, there are just 13 participants with autism. And we see that actually there is no group difference, and that but there is an effect of the valence, meaning that positive scene were perceived as more real than negative ones. In other terms, negative scenes were perceived as more fictional. And this is true for both groups. Concerning the valence rating, the subjective ratings, we found a significant group and interaction, which is qualified by this significant difference, group difference, in the positive and the neutral, for the positive and the neutral scene. In other terms, people with autism report a less intense emotion for the positive and neutral scene, while for the negative emotion, the negative scene, there was no difference. And concerning the self, we also find that the self is more involved in the positive and in the positive scene and less involved in the negative one. And this is also true for both groups. Even if we might expect a difference, if we increase the number of our participants. So the self is more involved. Positive scene evoked more personal memories than negative one. Here we run a multiple regression analysis, and when we see all participants, we can see that the self is best predictor of the intensity rating. But we also find almost significant self-group interaction that here we look at this analysis, the result of this multi-regression analysis on the two groups separately. And in typically developed group, it turns out that just the self is the significant predictor of intensity rating, while for the autism, the two factors seems to play an equal role. Have an equal weight, so they both predict intensity rating in autism spectrum disorder. This is the result for the second questionnaires when we look at the number of correct percentage of correct response to the five questions. So again, we didn't find group difference, and both group reported a greater number of correct responses. But we have also found an interaction showing that this is not the case for some type of question, in particular the person and the object question. And it seems that the event encoding in this case is affected by the stimulus valence in both groups. That is, negative event seems to enhance encoding of person information more than positive and neutral one, while object information is enhanced in emotionally neutral C. And this is true for both groups. We also run correlation analysis, and we found a significant correlation between the autistic quotient, which is a measure of the severity of autistic symptoms, and the intensity rating, suggesting that the greater is the autistic quotient, as the less intensive emotional are experienced. So to summarize this main result, we know at this stage, and these are preliminary results, we didn't find group difference in valence accuracy, in perceived fictionality, and memory encoding at different aspects of the scene. Personal memory are elicited while watching positive clips. We are perceived as more realistic than negative one. Thus, negative synapses are more fictional and evoke less personal memory. Negative events also enhance encoding of personal information, and the encoding of object information is better in emotionally neutral scene. The nature of the clips, so seems whether they are perceived as real or fictional. And this is a point that is differ in the previous study conducted by Pascal, that we ask the subject to evaluate the subjective perceived fictionality of the scene. We didn't cue them by saying this is fictional, this is real, even though we have both fictional and real material. So since this is a perceived subjective fictional, this doesn't affect the intensity of the emotion in typicals. So I would say that emotion are like quasi-emotion for people with typical development. And this is consistent with the Goldstein studies. They also show that personal relevance, but not fictional status of the event, has an effect on the level of emotion. He was particularly interested in sadness and anxiety, and this was independently of the nature of the clips. So there must be, as it suggests, a suspension of disbelief that allows us to react equally to both fiction and real situation. And this is seems to confirm also the hypothesis that has been proposed yesterday by Jerome, that maybe fictional movie provide a mediated and relatively controlled environment in which we might feel comfortable to explore and understand our own emotional reaction. And by experiencing this our emotion in a fictional context, we might learn to better know and regulate them in real life. Of course, it's an hypothesis that needs to be addressed in a follow-up studies. So the general conclusion are that concerning the autism is that the intensity rating in typical development is entirely determined by the self-engagement in the story, while in the people with autism, the self and the fictionality equally determining the emotional intensity. Participant with autism seems to be less emotionally engaged when watching positive scenarios, maybe because the self is more engaged in positive scene. And also the subjective report intensity correlate with the autistic quotient, the autistic question, which seems to be a key feature of the that might possibly explain the difficulty in the social emotional domain. So the higher the autistic quotient score, the lower is the intensity rate. Of course, this result should confirm in a larger sample set, and also it would be interest to compare, to couple this result with measure, implicit measure of emotional response and the pupillometry parameters. So to really the end of my talk, I want to just conclude about a few remarks about what fictional emotion tell us about autism. We might say that autism, in people with autism, there is still some degree of a self-revelational effect on encoding. And this is consistent with the previous studies, but it is also interesting to study children with autism. But seems this is not the case, seems that there is no self-referential effect at all in children. So this is a question that should be also be addressed. This is some kind of compensatory mechanism that may take part and explain this developmental story about how the self is construct in this population. We also can say that reduced self-reference in autism may be explained in terms of a diminished top-down regulation exerted by prior personal knowledge. And in particular, today autobiographical episodic memory impairment. The quality of their interpersonal relation may be diminished in terms of the reduction of positive emotional response, empathy, self-involvement, reciprocity. So I think these are a really crucial function that should be deeply investigated in autism spectrum disorder in relation with the social emotional impairment, as Martin said this morning. Social abilities, social competence, and self-knowledge are strictly related, strictly intertwined. So, and this is also my hypothesis, actually. This is really open a new avenue in the research of autism, and in particular in the understanding of the social interaction impairment. I really want to thank you all to be here, and also to thank people that the Einer Fiction collaborator and the social cognition team that collaborate in these studies, in particular Alice Latimier, Marine Buon, Marina Mishenko, Ayat Mir, and Fabian Casalis. Thank you.